You can be a member of the church we read of in the New Testament and not a member of a denomination. Stay tuned.
Wonderful words, those wonderful words, those wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. I'm grateful that you are joining me here on this study and look forward to our opportunity today. Book, Chapter, and Verse comes to you weekly, and this is simply a program where we open up God's Word, consider what it has to say, and look at it book, chapter, and verse for God's will for our lives. Now, at the end of our broadcast, I'll come back with some information, some contact information, so you can touch base with us and ask for any free Bible study material. And we'll be glad to share that with you. We don't want your money here on Book, Chapter, and Verse. We simply are grateful for your time and your interest in spiritual matters, and we look forward to our study together with you. I love to read the book of Acts, especially chapter 2. And today I'd like for you and I to make our introduction of Book, Chapter, and Verse a reading from Acts, the second chapter, and verse 36. And I want to read to the end of the chapter in verse 47, and let's see what happened on that great day. Peter is preaching, and he comes to verse 32, and he says concerning Christ, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God, or the Lord our God, shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, I love that reading. And I enjoy that. And, you know, the past few programs, we have spent time talking about the church we read of in the New Testament. I hope that you have enjoyed that study therein. And we can see readily from the Word of God His plan for the church. And our desire should always be to the church we read of in the New Testament. And our desire should be to know of that church, to be a part of that church, and that church only. We've spent time looking, book, chapter, and verse, at the characteristics of the church and what the church is to be according to God and His will. For the next few moments, I'd like for you and I to think about some things of what the church is not to be. And I'd like to lovingly and graciously challenge our thinking of what the world says, and constantly staying intact with the church we read of in the New Testament, and to think about what the church of the New Testament is not to be, nor what it is not to become. As we begin this thought today, Consider with me that the church we read of in the New Testament is not a denomination. Now that may surprise some people because as I began the broadcast, I stated, you can be a member of the church and not be a member of a denomination. That's hard for the world to grasp, but the Bible can grasp it and the Bible presents it. And it allows us to lift up God's Word and to see those things that are needed. For example, did you know the word denomination is not in the Bible? It's actually a word that's taken from two words, the prefix D-E, which means down from the first or the whole, and the word nominate, which means to name. So what we have is a situation of something that's down from the first or down from the whole, and it is named. Now, the church that we read of in the Scripture is one church and not many. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the Bible says that God hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 teaches us that there is one body. Now, if you think with me for a moment, folks, if there is one body, and the body is the church, then the Scriptures reveal there's one church. Division is condemned in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul desired that there would be no division among them, but they would be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And when we think about that and we consider that, then as Christ prayed for unity in John 17, how can we then desire something that Christ prayed differently? If Christ desired unity, then we need to be one. We do not need to be engaged in divisive matters. On occasion, I'm asked and I'm approached, Jeff, can we ask you something? What does the Church of Christ teach on this subject, or what do you preach on this subject? You know, kind friends, churches can teach or preach about anything. I think what's important is that we simply go back to the Bible and we simply consider that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and let's find our answers with the Bible. Let's get our answer from discussing the Word of God. So when there are those that say, what does your church teach? Maybe we would do well to say, well, it's not what our church teaches, but here's what the Bible says on it. And this is what we should be doing as the church. I like to use this illustration. Imagine for a moment as we're discussing denominationalism, consider this with me. I've noted that I would love to leap back in time. I remember a show that was on many years ago about a scientist that stepped in a time chamber and he would find himself leaping back into lives of people, correcting things that were wrong and making them better. I would love to leap back in time to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 of what we just finished reading. I'd love to stand there and to see those things. These people believed, they repented, and they received remission of sins through baptism. I'd like to ask them one question. The question that I would like to ask them is, now that you're baptized, you're standing here dripping wet, I have one question. What denomination are you now a member? If you think about it, folks, they would look at me and not have the slightest idea of what I'm talking about. They would be totally puzzled as to what I'm saying. About the only thing they would say is that they are added to the church. The church that Christ promised to build in Matthew 16, 18, the church that is extolled here in Acts chapter 2, and the church that they are added thereof in Acts 2, verse 47, and the church that was purchased with his own blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. If I went back in that time and just said, what denomination are you a member of? They wouldn't know of a denomination. They were simply added to the church. Now, my friends, if it's possible then, I submit to you, it's possible now. A person can be added to the church we read of in the New Testament and not be a part of any denomination. You have to admit that is refreshing. With that in mind, let's think about it for a moment. When we are looking at our souls, of what would God have us to be a part of? The church we read of in the New Testament, or a denomination that was brought upon by man? Let's call our lives back to the pages of the Bible and follow what God would have us to follow. The second thing I want us to think about, the church we read of in the New Testament, is that it is the church that is not to be ignored. Our soul salvation relies upon us being a part of the saved and the saved that are within the church, Acts 2:47. Jesus is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23, and He is going to save that body, the church. So this is not something that I need to ignore. And as we bring to a close these series of thoughts on the church, we don't need to ignore the church we read of in the New Testament. There are those that upon ignoring the church they read of in the New Testament, or desiring a life without Christ or His church, we need to think about their fate. I'm positive and I'm upbeat and I love to talk about the great things God has done for us, but I'm also mindful that our Father is, according to Romans 11 and verse 22, that we need to behold the goodness and the severity of God. And we understand from that text that His goodness and His severity relies upon what we are about. First of all, the church that we read of in the New Testament is not to be ignored. But there are those that would ignore the church. First of all, there are those that do not obey God and that are not Christians. They will use a variety of excuses or reasons of why they are not members of the church we read of in the New Testament. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we see of their fate. We see of what will happen to them. As Paul, beginning that letter, reminds them of what would happen. In 1 Thessalonians, or rather 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If a person ceases to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, if a person ceases to respond to His message of grace, His message of love, His message of salvation, that if they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. My friends, I need to give serious thought of my relationship to Jesus Christ. I do not want to be in a situation where I will not obey the gospel of Christ, where I will not acknowledge God or obey God. Some say, well, I believe in God and that's enough. Well, it wasn't enough for the devils. James 2 verse 19 says, the devils believe and tremble. Those in John 12 and verse 42 did believe in Christ, but they did not confess Him lest they be cast out of the synagogue. There are multitudes of people that believe in God, but they do not respond their life in belief to God. They will not obey the gospel. Romans chapter 10 reminds us they have not all obeyed the gospel. Obedience to the gospel is simply accepting the gospel of Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and that we believe in that. Those on Pentecost repented. The confession was made by the eunuch and no doubt others as Jesus commanded confession, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Isn't it something to take Romans 6, 4 through 6, and to note the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, the likeness? We're dead in sin, we're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. When we're raised to walk in newness of life, then we're able to be what God would have us to be. Those that do not obey the gospel, they ignore the church and the simplicity, and they're not a part of the church we read of the New Testament. How can Christ save us if we're not saved in the body, the church? May I share with you a second group of individuals who ignore the New Testament or ignore the church we read of the New Testament? And they are those that err from the truth. Is it possible that one who once obeyed the gospel can lose his salvation? The scripture is clear. Yes. In James chapter 5 and verse 19, James is writing to Christians. He says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins." Notice what James says. Brethren, that is a term of affection for the child of God. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, you got to be at the truth to err from it. If any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, one bring him back, convert, change, he will save a soul from death. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 reminds us, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Dear friends, you have to be somewhere in order to depart from it. They were with the living God and they have chosen to depart from the living God. As we consider 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, Peter tells us it would be good to not have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered unto us. My friends, that's scary. We don't want to walk away from God. So many times we allow things to influence us and embrace excuses that take us away from God, and that need not be. We don't need for that to happen. It's very easy to err from the truth. It is possible that it can be done. Someone says, "Well, if you got it, you're not going to lose it." But these walked away from it. My friend, yes, you can fall away from your faithfulness to God. So easy to do. May I give you a third group of people that the church is not to be ignored, but sometimes they get their own little ideas and they think they are right. Those that don't obey the gospel, those that err from the truth, and those that think they are right. They have a tendency to kind of create their own little box, their own little idea of religion. But you know, in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, there were those that thought they were doing right. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Here are those that thought they were right. My friends, every day that I arise, I need to give some consideration. Am I right and am I walking in accordance with God and His will? If I've had yet to obey the gospel of Christ, I know of my destination and I don't need that. I don't need to ignore the church that I read of in the New Testament. Folks, through our studies of the church, it is my prayer and my plea that we have dug deep to where you and I would think, I want to be a part of that church. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to be a part of the church that I read of in the New Testament. I want to be able to read and understand and know God's will for my life. And you can. My friend, if you have erred from the truth and you've left the Lord in His church, there is nothing out there that important that will take you, that means more to you. And if you continue in that destination, how tragic that will be. And I need to really know that I'm right. We're taught that we can know that we know Him if we keep His commandments, 1 John 2, verse 3. There are things that we can know. You know, we can know the truth, and the truth shall make us free, John 8, 32. Some people today say, well, you can't know truth. Jesus said, you can know truth. Isn't it something that an individual tells me, I can't know something, but they know I can't know? Don't be deceived, kind friend. Now, let's think about it for a moment. We must always uphold the uniqueness of the church we read of in the New Testament. And we can know assuredly that it and only it is the only way one can be saved. To just simply go back to the Bible and to be a part of what we read of in the Bible, to grow in that grace and in the knowledge, to be a part of the church we read of in the New Testament. Yes, it is possible. You can be a member of the church and not the member of a denomination, for the church of the New Testament is not a denomination. If someone asks me, Jeff, what denomination are you a member of? Here's my answer. I'm not a member of a denomination. I'm a member of the church that I read of in the New Testament. I am a member of the pre-denominational body of Christ. Pre-denominational? Mm-hmm. Do you know the church existed before any denomination did? Why not go back to the original? Why not be a part of that church we read of in the New Testament and press onward and upward? When I look through the New Testament, I find there are those that heard the gospel message. How could they believe unless they be sent, unless they hear? Romans 10. Jesus said, hear and understand. They believed in what they heard. They had that faith. Faith that without it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6. They took the teaching of Jesus of repentance in Luke 13, 3. The preaching of Peter in Acts 2, verse 38, they looked upon Paul on Mars Hill, Acts 17, 30, and they embraced repentance. They changed their decision, which resulted in a change of direction. They confessed Christ as the Son of God. That eunuch did so in Acts 8, 37, commanded by Christ. And with that in mind, they were baptized into Christ, just like they were in Acts 2, and they were added to the church. Baptism that forgave their sins, washed them away, Acts 22, 16. Put them in Christ, Galatians 3, 27. That's what they do. Dear friend, would you love to be a member of the church we read of in the New Testament? In a few moments, I'm going to share with you some contact information. You could very well say, I want to learn more about this. Let me study this on my own. You've thrown a lot out today, Jeff. Things I haven't heard before. Let me look at this in light of the Bible. Dear friends, we'll be more than happy to help you. The church that we read of in the New Testament, it is not a denomination. Never has been, never will be. Unless people want to take it and make it something it's not. The church of the New Testament is not to be ignored, and I hope that our studies on the church have helped you to want to know more about the church, to embrace it, and yes, to be a part of it. You can be a member of the church we read of in the New Testament and not be a member of a denomination. May that be your aim. May that be your plea. We'll be back in just a little bit. I'll have a couple of other remarks. But for now, let us enjoy this hymn together.
Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care, and take just leads me closer home.
What a beauty to see the church revealed in the New Testament and know that we can be a member of that church and nothing else. Contact us if we can help you toward that. See you next week.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.